Hey, America.
Start listening now. Man, early ESC 2025 season is apparently press leak extravaganza. So I guess to keep in theme, we are going to be leaking the roster right now for our six ESC preview shows. Ooh. So first, what do you mean we can't book Petra?
And welcome to another Petrolis episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision Song Contest podcast from America. Break me off a piece of that America. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Danny. Isn't that what Canada jokingly said they'd do regarding Minnesota?
Yes, please.
Please I'm take okay. us.
Well, wait. Well, let's see who their new prime minister is going to be first, and then...
Okay, now. Yeah. What's it going to be? Is it still going to be the Liberal Party? What happened to that whole coalition?
I don't think it's going to be.
I think it's going to be awkward for a little while.
their pendulum is swinging much in the way that some others are.
Oh, much across the world. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I have my eyes on just going to Newfoundland and hanging out there for a while and hoping they like split off again. They were the last province I guess unless you count Nunavut, and I'm just too warm-blooded for that.
That's a territory.
I know. Okay. All right. So, I mean, maybe Newfoundland can, you know, spin off, do their own thing. They've got an independent streak in them, a mile wide, and I love the accent.
What if
we love come from away?
Like
we do.
Do love come from away.
I love the rock.
What if, just putting this out there?
Yes.
They put some like cool jets on Newfoundland, and it just over and became one of the British Isles.
Ireland 2, Newfie Boogaloo. Ooh, I
Ireland
love it.
You
meant like cool jets, like they just take a couple players from the Jets and just
pull
them
from West Side Story.
Yeah,
Devontae Adams can just push the anyway. Sam, hit him with the Jets.
When you're a social media outlet, you're a social media outlet all the way. I got nothing on this. But yeah, you can find us on all the standard and a lot of the substandard social media outlets at 12pointsUSA, or just email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. You can find our merchandise on our Redbubble page, or you can support us via a one-off donation on our Ko-fi account, that's Ko-fi, or with a sustained donation over on Patreon for a monthly contribution. And whether you support us financially or not, we love and appreciate you either way. We're so grateful that you're listening to us. But Patreon supporters do get exclusive content and early access to episodes. And it's just another way to get in touch with us. So, yeah. So before we dive into news, and again, right now we don't have a ton of definitive confirmations on entrants or anything like that right now, but we're getting a lot of songs released. Eric, you right now are in the throes of wedding planning. It's something that Derek and I did last year and the year before, and now it is your turn. Danny's not far behind, but you right now are doing one of the most vital parts of your wedding planning.
That's correct, Sam.
The DJ selection. Yes. Tell us about that.
Yeah. I'm just going to tell a quick story here. This is almost Eurovision. Is it in the wild? What's the name of the thing we talk about? Herber?
Movies.
Gerties? Movies? That's it.
Yeah, we talked about Patty Gurdy.
That was the thing.
Okay, so we've been interviewing potential DJs about like okay, so like Liz and I are both old, like we're not party animals. We're not looking for a DJ that's gonna, you know, we don't need air horns. We don't need anyone who's gonna make this about themselves.
I was really hoping for just Mr. Saxo beat on Heavy Replay. Yeah.
Here's the thing.
What?
Okay. So we talked. So we were talking to this guy, and he was pitching a lot of really cool tech. Like we can do some like live mashup stuff, and we can do cool like we're trained to do these cool transitions and things like that. Like it looked really, really quite nice, like DJ experience. But and we were thinking like this seems very cool. Also, this seems like so much more than what we need. But here's the thing: we asked like, do you offer any additional services? You know, something other things that could be interesting to us. And he said, well, for an extra $1,000, you can have a live sax player.
Like playing along?
Yes.
Like,
that's correct. And I thought, that's insane. Why would anybody do that? And I thought that to myself. And then we were going through the conversation a little bit more, and it dawned on me.
Yes.
What if we did have the sax player?
You could have an epic sax guy.
What if we had our own epic sax guy for 4 hours or whatever it is? And our intro of Runaway with Me by Carly Rae Jepsen.
Oh,
you know, okay. Like, and when I realized that, I was like, oh my God, do I actually want to do this?
Wait, okay, but what's the problem? What if this is a monkey's paw situation? What if you get a sax guy, but it's soprano sax?
Ooh, having a Kenny G moment, yeah.
Or it's the sax player from the orchestra in 1991 Eurovision.
Oh no, oh.
Who tried his best.
No, he didn't. Oh.
So,
what is that? What happened in 91?
Oh, you've seen this.
I don't know this. Have I?
I'm pretty sure we've gone over this when we had our 1991 rewatch. It was the Greek song, Ianixi, incredible. Sophia Vosu, I think her name was. And it's this intense, you know, kind of big voice power ballad. But of course, this is the era of the live orchestra. And after her big chorus, it was supposed to have the saxophone solo. And it went so far off the rails
that we're gonna have this is gonna be a Patreon exclusive. We wrap up here, we might need to just pull this up and
yeah,
I don't recall this from when we did 91.
This is a foistable moment right here. This was
live from Zagreb.
No, this was Rome. This is Rome.
That was, oh my Christ.
So okay. This is after Toto Cutugno mispronounces everything and before the Mr. Neff tie situation, it was just this absolute comedy of errors. And I feel so fortunate that we get to relive this moment with you, Danny. So, yeah.
All right.
Check out the Patreon for that.
Bracing already.
I think that'll be good. Anyway, I don't think we're hiring Epic Sax Guy.
Oh.
But can you imagine? Like, I also wonder, like, you know, this guy gets paid to play saxophone. He has to know what that is, right?
Oh, I would hope so.
Yes.
But what if he doesn't?
He knows all the riffs. And do you think he could play along to like Midnight City by M83?
Ooh.
That was another one where I thought like, oh.
Do you think he could lay it down?
I would hope so. If I'm paying him $1,000, he'd better be able to lay down. Some of these things. I wanted to ask like...
Speaking of epic instrumental solos, is that Midna or is that Maris? Midna.
Hey, buddy. Oh.
Good girl. What's up? Oh, good girl.
Is that a get on with it? Was that?
Play us off, keyboard cat.
Yeah, God. That was incredible.
Where were we?
I don't know. I have
exactly
no idea.
Exactly where we needed to be.
I don't know. I don't know. Let's talk about Eurovision on our Eurovision show.
We have a slight amount of news, just a slight scattering, a dusting.
Yeah, right now, we're at sort of a quiet season before the actual televised major programs of finals are happening. But we're getting a lot of song releases for, you know, long lists and short lists of what these songs are going to be. Right now, at time of recording, we're recording this for the record on Monday, January 13th. So right now, Finland is going through its process where every weekday they're releasing one of their songs for UMK. Malta's released their songs. Have you guys heard about this one Maltese song that's beginning to be a bit of linguistic controversy? And
linguistic controversy?
Oh,
say
yes.
More.
Oh, yes.
In Eurovision?
In
never.
Eurovision. In my Eurovision? Really? So... Malta hasn't really sent any songs in Maltese in a while. Most of their songs, as we know, are in English. But there's this one song if it's not becoming the front runner, it's certainly gaining a lot of attention. The song is primarily in English. And it delves a little bit in the chorus into Maltese. One particular word, the word for song. And she says, you know, I'm serving, the word is for song. The word for song in Maltese,
like
it's cant. It's cant. She's serving Kent.
That's so good.
Oh man.
And she's so like, good. I'm serving Kent. And it is they know exactly. Viva Malta. Grazie Hafna Malta.
She is the moment. She is the look. Good. Letter. Yeah. Letter. I hope it goes through.
I mean,
how are they less mad at this? I don't know, or more mad at this than I don't know.
Nobody's said anything against it yet. I think a lot of people are just whispering of what would happen. How are they going to be able to do this? It's not English, so it's not. It just happens to sound like. But yeah, so again, Malta's not going to pick their song for another couple of weeks yet. But certainly, there's one song that's taking a lot of the oxygen in the room.
Which is this our only solid release?
No, there are actually a couple of decent ones in there.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. So, you know, again, I mean, there are plenty of accounts out in, especially on YouTube, that are going through this. I have to shine a light on the folks over at Misja Eurowizja, which I think is a Polish account, that within moments of songs being dropped, they have compilations. They do, you know, a fair amount of really good work. If you don't have the time or the wherewithal to listen to the full versions of every single song that comes out there, go onto YouTube, find the account for Misja Eurowizja. They're really good with the rundown.
MISJA.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. And I love watching those countdowns to just get a feel for like what people like and how wrong I am about like... Oh, cool. All of these people put the song I like at like 19th. Great. Awesome. Thanks. but they're great. It's good to just kind of get the for checking the pulse of things.
Yeah. Because, they're also a really good resource. Yeah. Like if we have a list of singers, but we don't have the songs yet, they will go through and say, these are the folks who have done national finals or Eurovision before. These are the songs that they've done. These are new to the act, but this is a previous song of theirs. This is their debut, but they're a really, really great resource. And I've been depending pretty heavily on them recently. So give kudos where kudos is due. So good for them. But anyway, we've gotten the songs from Malta, Greece, wild cards are being selected in Ukraine. We've got some snippets from Belgium. By the time the show airs, you'll have heard, at least the list of acts from Poland and I believe Norway. We'll probably have heard the candidate songs from Iceland. I believe the auditions from Moldova are coming soon, so that's going to be endless entertainment. We're going to get our host announcement next week. I believe on January 20th they're going to announce that, so that'll be another, you know, little bit of the piece of the puzzle coming together.
I'll just add that it's a crime that that Czechia let us know who's going to be their singer so early, because I have been listening to a lot of Donks' stuff on the platforms, and unfortunately, I really like it. Unfortunately, I'm a real big fan of what this guy's doing, so I can't wait for him to be a non-qualifier.
Bite your tongue.
I already feel it. I'm ready to have my heart broken again.
Sam, who is the act from Belgium that has generated a non-zero amount of buzz?
Probably Mantissa, I believe her name is.
That's right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
We haven't heard a clip from that one yet. We've heard I put it this way. I hope they're saving the best for last on the Belgian clips. The ones we've heard have been kind of. I don't know,
Mantissa is the being true to form.
Listen, Belgium. I understand it's mid-January. Belgium is number one in the betting odds right now.
Belgium. We are so podcast-brained about this contest. Yeah. We are
Belgium ahead of Sweden, Ukraine, in the top.
Wow,
three.
So
there's
wow.
Something people are. There's something people are excited about with Belgium. I don't think it's one of the ones we've heard at the time of recording. It probably is. Mantissa, like you said. That song is apparently called Désolé.
I'm sorry?
It's called Sorry.
We're sorry. Yeah.
Sorry for party rocking.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh. You ever party rock and everybody's like, just like, dude. Anyway.
Sorry. Somebody put a little comment on our little news grouping here that Germany's getting serious. Any context to that one?
Yeah, that was me.
Yeah, go for it. Take it.
So I just saw this. from our pals at Eurovoix, and I think this is kind of a wild thing to say, especially if you're Germany. So there is a collaboration between ARD and RTL, the two big broadcasters in Germany, for the national final that they've had the last few years. And apparently ARD program director, her name is Christine Strobel, short for strobe light.
Ooh, she must be fun at parties.
It's a bit on and off. Anyway, basically she did an interview within the last few days and basically said, we're not going to keep doing this collab with RTL. We're not going to keep collabing with Stefan Raab to do this national final unless Germany wins the contest.
Whoa.
I mean,
so that's the standard being set.
I mean, right, let's now be real here. Stefan Raab, love him or hate him, he was behind some
of... Is he related
of...
to Broccoli?
Broccoli Raab?
So bitter. I mean, he was the man behind a lot of Germany's sort of heyday back in the early 2010s. Like, if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have had Lena, both of Lena's acts. Like, he hosted a fantastic show in 2011, or I think he did a great job hosting, I should say. You know, Roman Loeb, that was a fantastic result for Germany as well. If bringing Stefan Raab back into the fold is the little splash of gasoline to get Germany going again, then yeah, let's, yeah, vada hada doodada.
What?
Sure.
Okay, sorry, so now we have another thing to show, Danny. Oh,
Jesus. All right.
Yes. All right.
We'll have to keep enduring this contest that I've decided to do a podcast about.
So, yeah, I don't know. Is Germany going to win Eurovision just so that they can keep doing some other thing? This was a quote from Stefan Raab, actually. I'm not doing this because I want to come second or third. The national football team doesn't say before a tournament, we want to come third. If we only come second, you can punish me afterwards. So, yeah, they're doing two heats and a semifinal and a final this year. A bit of an expanded thing compared to the last few years. Mm-hmm. 24 total acts, and 9 will make the final. Everything up until the final is 100% jury vote. Final is apparently 100% televote. So that's fun when
that's
you switch
gonna make things interesting.
Yeah, when you switch things up like that. But yeah,
we shall see.
It also says during the heats and semifinal, the artists will showcase their talents across multiple singing rounds and disciplines.
Ah, ooh, baton twirling.
Yeah. So they're going to have to like chop pieces of wood and stuff.
I was
like
thinking
American
lumberjacking.
Ninja Warrior. Oh, okay. Yeah. They're going to have to do the obstacle course. Are they going to have to climb the aggro crag?
I was going to say they had to assemble the Shrine of the Silver Monkey. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would.
You never get the head on right.
You got to jam it. You got to really jam it.
That is a reference that only maybe half of our
You're welcome, America.
Oh my God, they're all ancient. Are you kidding?
And American.
Everyone, let us know in the comments if you are under 20.
Just ask your parents about the Shrine of the Silver Monkey, and
watch them get really excited and be like, "Wait, why do you know about the Shrine of the Silver Monkey?"
And then a whole bunch of Aztec temple guards go and drag them away.
Mm-hmm.
They've said too much.
Yep.
Oh, my childhood.
Yeah. All right. Anyway. What else we got?
That is about it for news right now. It's mostly just a lot of serving cant and waiting for other stuff to happen.
God, serving, German philosophers will be so happy at that song.
Oh.
Serving absolute cant. we have a topic. We haven't even really mentioned it yet, but it shouldn't be too long of an episode. It's just going to be another half hour of me ranting. This is a topic that I've brought up several times before, usually in terms of me being woefully disappointed at an act's live performance. And we don't often focus a lot on live performances here, unless we're talking about a specific year, but I want to talk about the fact that dancing is annoying. specifically what I mean is, like the question is dancing distracting? Is dancing necessary? And is the level of dancing that we see at the contest ever actually worth it? I think ever is putting it a little strong. I mean, obviously a lot of the time, certain songs titled Slow Mo profit a lot from dancing. But this is me being just generally angry at what I think is a, I don't know, just frustrating. Sam, can I just ask, when, as we know it, did like, was like choreo allowed? Was it ever like explicitly banned? Like,
it was never really explicitly banned. However, the way the contest
people
was...
weren't doing Beyonce level choreography in 1959.
Oh, what?
Sure.
Funny you should say, because 1959, and okay. I haven't gone through it, you know, with a fine tooth comb, but 1959 was the year that we had Ellen and Alice Kessler, the Kessler twins, singing for Germany with the song "Heute Abend." Let's say, heute wollen wir tanzen gehen, or tonight we want to dance. And it was very dancey. It was, you know, the two pretty girls singing about how much they want to dance tonight. So that was pretty early on. I know that the Dutch pretty early on had songs like Fernando and Filippo. That would have been 1966. That was very, very dancey, you know, bringing on actual like choreography and dance, like literally dancing down the stairs to get into her the beginning of her song. You can really also argue that one of the most beloved songs in Eurovision history, Nel blu dipinto di blu, Volare, was the first one to really incorporate any sort of choreo or dance. It's basically just the singer raising his arms above his head and actually not just standing there completely still.
Do the Mario.
Basically, well, you know what? Domenico Modugno could have probably passed for Mario.
I will say, though, that all of these instances are more or less, you know, the kind of dancing that you could do with a little microphone in front of you, you know? A stand microphone. We're not talking about, you know, hip swaying left and right, you know, countless are just, you know, a bunch of Bucks Fizzes and a bunch of, you know, Hallelujahs. Just we're all standing at our microphones and doing a little dance. But like
Freddie,
I mean,
yeah,
gotta have
we're
Freddy.
Talking about like, I was trying to go through the Eurovisions and see at what point we sort of moved away from the kind of dancing you would expect like a rock band to go through, because, you know, I'm not counting swaying your hands to Love Shine a Light as choreography. But I'd like to know if either of you guys can think of an instance before this, because I think this trend started in the early 2000s, as lots of bad trends do, of like, I can't, the type of modern hard throwdown choreography where the singer themselves are actually like doing some dance every way that I can is like the earliest that I can think of that has that level of like, you know, and we think of like a Fuego, or we think of like Marina from Greece last year. We're like actually doing dance. I've got a headset up to me. Sertab didn't have a headset though, so good on that. Good on her. But like,
Sertab Erener?
Like every way that I can. She's holding a mic. I'm pretty sure.
I feel like I'm Mandela affecting myself here. Yeah.
In any case, that's the level of dance that I'm talking about. Is there anything like slightly earlier? Because when I go through the 90s, I don't even see something like that. Not from everyone, especially among winners, you know?
Especially maybe not with winners, but like my brain goes to entrance back in the 80s. Things like, you know, Şarkım Seni Üstüne, which was a no pointer from Turkey back in the 80s. That was very heavy choreography. Like all the members of the band were full-on choreography. They were breathless by the end of it.
Oh, good.
And it's one of my favorites. They were all wearing so much fringe, and the choreo of the fringe was just flying everywhere, and the hair and the aquanet, my God. I think a large portion of it is the fact that up until 1971, so that's going to be kind of a hard and fixed point there.
Mm-hmm.
Before 1971, all acts had to be solo or duets. So you didn't really necessarily have any bands or any real availability for a backing dancer to really be a major part of it.
Yeah.
Also, the
it doesn't look right for just you and your friend to be popping and locking on stage, right. Just
yes,
for 3 minutes, just two guys popping and locking,
right? And then also prior to around 1997, any instruments that were heard had to be actually played live.
That's
so you
right.
had
That's
you had right. the orchestra that was still around, but any band that was on stage, if there was an instrument, they were actually playing the instrument. They weren't just, you know, miming the instrument and you know, playing and dancing in the background. Part of that had to stop because of the whole Gina G with a Macintosh on her yeah. stage performance for Ooh Ah Just a Little Bit.
Uh-huh.
So that kind of freed people up as well. But I mean, there were definitely people doing relatively heavy choreo in the 80s. Mm-hmm. You look at this 1991 contest, the winning song, Fang It Up in Stormwind, Corolla, that was definitely very dance heavy. That may have, frankly, clinched the win.
It was a tie, though.
It right? was a tie. And, like, yeah, and, was, if, and if we were using...
That was the whole thing with that one.
I know. And if we were using today's rules, she would have come in second. But still, it was eye-catching.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine with that winning that contest.
Yeah, that was a chaotic contest, yeah. And I'm okay with the chaotic winner.
Yeah. You mentioned Gina G. That one has, there's not a lot of like simultaneous singing and dancing, especially not from Gina G herself, but my goodness, there are a couple of dancers just going to town for that entire 3 minutes.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's nonstop.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, so am I when I'm listening to that song. So
we are all nonstop. So here's a question: is that even if there was like here and there some also rans who had a lot of heavy choreo in the 80s and 90s, it seems like by the early 2000s we've got a lot of it, and it's everywhere, mm-hmm. and it's sort of suffused into the fabric of Eurovision. And here's my thing. Every way that I can, and then like, what was the Greek winner like right after that?
Yeah, I think you, like, yeah, you can from. I think everybody from Estonia, 2001.
Yeah.
Then Iwana from Latvia, 2002. Every Way That I Can, Wild Dances, and My Number One were just this run of super dancy winners.
Really, really, really super dancy. But here's my thing: is that so? All of them. I'm even going to include Every Way That I Can is as a slight exception to this. Sung pretty well, like including this like aerobics level dancing. Every time that I watch like clips of Every Way That I Can, I'm like, man, she's like that. You know the clip of like Fergie doing the like front flips on the Today Show, and she's just going, oh, like that's kind of what I get a bunch of the times. Wait, is it Fergie? It might be someone else. Anyway, where is the breath support anymore? It seems like we are still doing this thing where we are chasing this trend from the early 2000s with a bunch of dancing in entries nowadays. It's like just because we were able to clinch it in the mid 2000s with this style of heavy, like Britney Spears style choreography, why can nobody sing?
I mean,
this might just be me biased, me seeing it every time just because it seems to be the bee that has been put in my bonnet. But it seems like there are so many songs where it's like, if you guys just dial back the choreography for the singer, if you just let the singer concentrate on singing, this could be such a better song. I even think Linoya had a little bit of trouble with breath support. I'm just a stickler for that sort of thing. But like,
do you think that there is a bit of a correlation between the what you see as sort of the nadir of really strongly vocally supported and the heightening of the importance of a televote?
People looking for that
choreo and that spectacle instead of just a vocal performance?
I mean, I think so. There's this like distinct change that happened like around the turn of 2000. Like we have a bunch of... it seemed like all of the was the 90s just a huge exception that we had like Nocturne and like Rock and Roll Kids? It seemed like every winner was extremely like really like pared back. and like we didn't need a lot of like showing. I sound so old, by the way.
I sound so the youngest person on the show.
I remember when a Eurovision winner used to not have to dance. But like my thing is like I appreciate it when you can dance and throw down. Like Wild Dances is fantastic. Of course it is. Like Damiano is running across the entire stage and is still able to have an awesome rock level breath support for Ziti Iboni. What's happening when we have like a competitor like who was the girl who sang for Lumix with Halo for Austria?
Yeah, Maria
just like completely lost it. A great song that was fantastic in studio, but like,
and she wasn't stage, even doing, and she wasn't even doing heavy choreo.
She was like jumping up and down inside of a circle.
There were other issues going on with that, I think.
It just...
Yeah, I mean, you look at... I keep going back to Fangarov and Stormvind. So, again, the winner from 91. And Carola was, again, doing pretty heavy choreo. She wasn't being flipped around or anything like that. But it was... But her vocals were impeccable.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, is there a difference... Is there now a difference in... You know, in-ear microphones. You know, and hearing herself, or the ramifications of a smaller theater and a smaller venue versus a larger theater, and having to, you know, what do you lose by going on a larger stage and playing to the back of the house? Do you think there's an aspect to that?
Well, if you physically have to cover more ground,
you run out of breath. Yeah,
yeah. I feel like the cracking of the code to this. Perhaps for the last couple of years, and I said the code.
Nemo.
Yes. Anyway, also not dancing, but they had some very demanding choreo stuff on that.
Oh dear God!
And crushed it. But that really is kind of the exception to the rule. I was thinking about songs like Unicorn from 2023. And as an extension, I mean, Slow Mo is maybe a good example of this also, or Brunette, what, Future Lover.
Future Lover.
You're talking about like a lot of production that just involves like not like a backing track, but like a Ashley Simpson isn't out there or anything, but you know,
but like. There definitely is perhaps a plague of getting a lot of support from the pre-recorded backing vocals.
Yeah,
but I'm talking about these songs that like had good singing and had good dancing, but made a point to not do them at the same time.
Oh, the isolated break. Yeah.
So like with Unicorn, it was like literally, do you want to see me dance? Do you want to see me dance? and then she did a dance.
She sure did.
But like, if you want to have both of these things, the key seems to be to just not do them at once. By the way, I looked it up, Danny. It was Fergie that did the cartwheels at the show.
Like,
and I want to note, in tribute, when Kim Petras, friend of the show, performed on the Today Show in 2023, she performed wearing a shirt showing an image of Fergie doing the cartwheels.
Love it.
The more that I think about sort of all of the performances that I don't like because they seem to lack breath support, just it seems like they just threw dancing into it, is I think it just comes down to like, am I angry at the idea of dance, or am I just angry at these people's production team making completely the wrong choice?
Is it? So I gotta jump in and ask some questions here, because I'm still not clear on what the issue is exactly. I understand.
The problem is I hate whenever this sucks.
No, I get that. But I feel like it's one thing to say, okay, they're doing way too much physicality. And I've seen this, you know, we see this in a number of different acts, even if they're not dancing, where they just get winded. They're just pushing themselves too hard, or they just don't have the strength to kind of hold this out for 3 minutes. And by the end of it, there's songs where we can hear people gasping for air by the end of it.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, ooh, that's not good. But at the same time, it's like, I mean, that's just a performance thing. Like whether or not they can sustain the song for 3 minutes under any circumstances, that's just something they have to do. And if they want to put dancing in there, I mean, it just makes it more visually compelling. I think
It I'm is way more visually impressed. Compelling. Yeah. But are you more impressed when they are dancing and their singing is kind of blah, or when they are just able to sing really, really well and don't dance?
If they can sing pretty well and do an amazing choreography, I'm more impressed with that.
I mean,
I think a big part of the show is also it's the whole package. It's presentation. It's not just it's the movement. It's the vocals. It's the lighting. It's got to be good.
And it's Eurovision. Yeah. Like, if you're going to send it, why isn't it good? If your singer has trouble with breath support when they're dancing, why did you make that their staging?
Someone somewhere in the line should have said, no, we can't do this.
Yeah, or pull it back if you know.
Yeah.
It can be aspirational.
Forward thinking. We're gonna get it right on the night. That's all we need to worry about.
I know. Yeah, exactly. It's just like, oh, I just hope it turns out well. But here's my thing: is like, why do we keep doing it? If because I looked into things like if it doesn't usually actually bear out as a winning strategy, like why take the risk to inject heavy choreo into your song? I understand sometimes it's just the vibe, you know, but like. I took a look at the, you know, we just had the Eurovision 250, the ESC 250, took a look at the top 30. So, you know, your winners, your most recent, your stuff. Of the top 30, there's only five that I would say are our classic kind of really dance heavy song. Two are near the top, Cha-Cha-Cha and Slow-Mo. Then we have Zari, also from last year. I would put Hurricane in that basket. And then there's Lanoia at 25. I wouldn't say that there are any others in there that have this, you know, conception of what we would call that kind of like, I'm just going to call it like pop girly choreography, just, like that Britney level choreography. Like,
to be fair, though, you wouldn't put Euphoria in that category.
I was going to say, is Euphoria not in there?
I wouldn't because like, is she like,
she's dancing her ass off.
She is like,
have you seen that Zoidberg crab walk? Come on, man.
That's right. But okay, yes, I'll do Euphoria. I'll do for you. But Tattoo, no. A certain level of the staging that we've sort of become like accustomed to at Eurovision, where it's like it's the inventiveness of the state of the staging more than sort of like the impressiveness of the choreography. Mm. It's like, I don't know. I just wish the choreography was imaginative and was doing something instead of just tiring out these singers. Especially when it doesn't bear out a win, usually.
It might not bear out a win, per se. Especially when you factor in jury vote versus public vote. But people do still love these songs, whether they do well or not. Like, again, there have been a couple of recent Eurovision discos that have gone out that I've had friends who have been taking part in. And again, I go back to the song that I was talking about before, this Maltese national finalist that people are already responding to.
Yeah.
People just want to have fun. That song is already on people's playlists and people are singing every word to it. Whether people still enjoy these, especially in studio, they remember the choreography. They don't necessarily remember, oh man, she booched that high note, or he was gasping for it.
She booched it.
I don't know.
Well, let me ask you this. Would you prefer it? And I'm the one song that popped into my head is Toy in this matter.
Mm.
If the singer was more or less stationary, but the backing dancers were doing all the work.
The spectacle worked for that one, honestly. You know, yeah. Netta was not joining in on that choreography too much. But she
a little bit.
It was like a little bit, but it was her dance.
A little bit.
She like had
all over the place.
The strut and it was in the attitude. It wasn't the
chicken things. And that was kind of nice because she was doing like people who love the song probably couldn't dance along to the dancers. They could dance along to what she was doing.
Mm-hmm.
The simpler side of the dancing and the choreo. And then she could have something that was imitatable. And then have and then focus on vocal performance as well.
Yeah,
and that was inventive. That was sort of like, can you believe it? Winning song had the like choreography and movement and staging that was actually fitting for the song. Like I wish it was that instead of just like sort of taking this cookie cutter approach that is like we have a fast paced sort of like upbeat dance song. We have to have it choreo heavy. We have to have something nuts for it. And pushing our singer to do something so that their breath support is rotten, so that their tone is rotten on the night.
Well,
I'm frustrated.
Okay, but like imagine a song like Slow Mo about a booty hypnotic, right?
Yes, I understand. I understand. That if the booty is hypnotic, it's got to be there.
That level of movement. I think in some instances, especially like when it lines up lyrically in addition to the feel, I don't think you have a choice.
And there are some times when you don't have a choice, but
you must submit to the booty hypnotic. It's just
and for the case of slow-mo specifically, I want to note that she worked with a very in-demand choreographer for that.
Mm-hmm.
A guy named Kyle Hanagami, who has worked with Blackpink, Ariana Grande, a Jonas, I forget which one, and just like it doesn't matter, and but like Jennifer Lopez, and has worked with these absolute huge global megastars on choreo, and so I think in the case of Chanel, a lot more attention was put into, you know, the quality of the choreography and the quality of the work that was going in, the quality of the conditioning.
Mm.
Yes.
And like not every one of these artists is going to be able to afford like a personal trainer to make sure that that your cardio is up to the task of what the song demands or what you've decided you want to do. And I think sometimes, I mean, you're doing this song over and over and over again for weeks, sometimes more if there's like a national final and so on. Like if you're not physically prepared for that,
then your team should not be putting you through these paces. Remember that song? Who had Secret? Which Balkan country had Secret from a couple years ago?
Albania.
That was a sick instrument song. That was a Balkan banger. That was our capital B Balkan, capital B banger of the year. And on stage, like this is the poster child for what I'm talking about. On stage, that song fell apart, and it was because of the trying choreo. I can't believe we went through half an episode where I just finally realized the problem is not the choreo. The problem is sloppy choreo is the trend. Like just taking the approach that like we're going to do the same level of dance as other people who just have more resources, who just have more money, who are able to do all this. And even like different levels of like experience and talent, like you just have to tailor it to the singer. Just tailor it to the singer. That's all I'm asking. I'm begging you. Yeah. I'm begging you to be realistic.
It should also be noted that you may have all of your ducks in a row in studio. You may have it down to a T, but things also happen.
Cold.
Yeah. People get a cold or you get the yips, you know, things happen. So, you know, sometimes the actual gravity of the situation comes in and you're like, oh my God, I'm deer in headlights. Or, you know, especially after 2 weeks of heavy rehearsals on site, people get colds. Yeah. Again, why is my brain going to Serhat right now? He didn't have heavy choreo, but
he didn't even have choreo. That man was just standing on a box.
But he still got a cold. Mm-hmm. And if he can hit a cold, then Eleni Ferreira could have gotten a cold.
Yeah.
So things also just happen. You may have it absolutely tuned to your abilities on your best day, but sometimes your best day isn't the day that you're singing at a Eurovision final. So I think that has to be considered as well.
A bunch of alternate universes where, you know, we gave these big dance heavy songs sort of the cookie cutter Eurovision choreo treatment. Like, can you imagine if Shum, like if they were dancing, can you imagine if they had headsets on and they were doing some Britney dancing? Can you imagine?
I actually
can't. Sometimes it's just not right. And sometimes you're like, you do not need that. You don't need it to have a great song. You don't need it to win, obviously. So it's like, why go that route if it's not going to be ideal? That's me. I suppose that's a sentiment that is not going to be heard It's just me, some little dingus in Minnesota shouting into his stupid little microphone.
Danny, are there some other examples of this that come to mind for you of like they went all out on the dancing and they shouldn't have?
Fuego. I'm going to be controversial and I'm going to say
really?
Fuego. She should have danced less.
Really?
I invite everyone to go back and listen to the live performance.
It does suffer a bit. The vocals aren't spectacular.
A bit is being
they're fine.
TBH.
Yeah.
And it's a shame because she's experienced, obviously, but it's like, this is taking so much out of her. This is the opposite of what you were talking about, where we have our dance break that's highly impressive, because it's like, there's like three of those dance breaks in Fuego. That's just the structure of the song. And then she has to do another verse and chorus. And then she has to do another verse and chorus after that. It was too much. It was too much.
I have a feeling we are going to get a whole bunch of angry Cypriots in our email. I want it to be known that Danny's opinions do not necessarily reflect those of all members of this group. This is your ranting space, and we welcome it, but...
I don't know if I would go as far as Danny is going right now, but I acknowledge the point that he's making, for
fair,
sure.
Yeah. Fair.
As far as... like the quality of the vocals in Fuego, they're not as good as you remember.
I am going to be examining this year's, you know, like semis and grand final. I'm going to be taking a magnifying glass to it. It's just something that I'm tired of. I'm tired of it because it feels very Eurovision-y in sort of like that way where people outside the contest, that's what they picture, is they picture just mindless pop girly choreography, because it is not a surefire bet, and it results in some real duds a lot of the time. So it's like, it is the bee in my bonnet this year.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like you're also focusing a lot on pop girlies.
Yeah, but like,
aren't
you know,
we all?
Yeah, but the middle of the time.
It's the world we live in.
It is. There's no bands anymore, Sam.
But what about, you know, a dance-heavy male-fronted, like Cha-Cha-Cha, for example?
I feel like Cha-Cha-Cha is...
a lot of movement, a lot of theatrical movement.
Yeah. Exactly.
But Karia himself is not doing a ton of the dancing. He does have to jump off the big box. Mm. He does have to bust out of the box. He's not doing a lot of the dancing until the very end.
Well, yeah, not until the very end. There isn't as much. I will say, I think that the Cha-Cha-Cha is maybe an example of the reverse of what you're talking about, where focusing on the vocal aspect of it came at a consequence to the choreography, because you could tell, God bless him, by the time we got to like the like Friday, Saturday, the yeah. grand final rehearsals and then the final show, you could see it in his face.
That
he was so just exhausted.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
He I remember watching the final and thinking, he's winded. Like he doesn't have the energy he did in the, like even in the semis or the rehearsals. Like he just wants to be done, and you can tell. And
the way that you have it trained, the way that you have it rehearsed, isn't necessarily the way that it's going to come across on that final night or the semifinal night. If you're, you know, that's where you.
And I mean, we saw him just outside the press room right afterwards, and a couple of people talked to him, and you could tell he was just. I mean, he was disappointed for one, because the result was obviously not what a lot of people were hoping for, himself especially, but. I think there was some semblance of relief that he didn't have to do the stupid song again, and that it was that it was just that this crazy week is over. And Sam and Derek in particular, you've been there after the lights go up after the final, and by then it's usually like 1 a.m. too, but everybody's just like, oh God, it's over.
Oh yeah.
And I can't imagine what that's like for someone in that situation who has to do all this super, super physical stuff. But you could tell that he was focusing on delivering, you know, the rap and the vocal and stuff like that. And I think, I can't speak for him on this, I think the choreo to him personally was secondary to that.
Yeah.
Which is interesting considering it was a song all about partying and dancing and letting go. And it, you know.
But it's a song. Mm-hmm. Songs are sung. You gotta sing the song so that they're sung, Sam.
But it's not a radio contest, so they have to do something visually interesting. Maybe not necessarily dance, and but something unique. Has to happen on screen.
Very unique.
And in his defense, I think he gave it 100% every single time.
Oh, yeah.
By the end of it, his last 100% was not as much as his first.
Yeah, I'm definitely not saying he was half-assing it. He was giving it all she's got.
He was hauling as much ass as he possibly could.
Yep.
Didn't have much ass left, unfortunately.
No. He was.
Booty was no longer hypnotic.
Yeah. Oh.
I'm going to push back on this only because really good choreography. It just looks so amazing.
It has to be worth it. And that's the thing is that this style of choreography is so rarely worth it anymore. That is my assertion. That is my thesis. I was able to get to it at the 50-minute mark. Finally. Is that?
I guess the only question then would be, when was the golden age of dancing and singing?
Are we going to go back to Volare?
Maybe.
It's been downhill since.
The Kessler twins.
It's been downhill for 70 years, baby.
Yep. I mean, I feel like every year there's at least two, maybe three songs that just... not necessarily in dancing, but they just go for it. They just go for it in ways that seem just ridiculous. Like someone should have said, no, we gotta pull back on this a little bit.
Yeah.
And they don't. And sometimes it works spectacularly and sometimes it doesn't. But I think of like You're the Only One or Zero Gravity or songs like that, where it's just like you're watching them rehearse it and thinking there's no way this is going to pan out. Like this is superhuman what these people are trying to do. And somehow it looks amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I remember thinking that about The Code when the music video was released. This is where they're like, this is wild. How is this possible?
Cannot possibly be done in person.
You can't stage this.
Right.
It's wrong about that. get your Eric was wrong shirts. Because holy crap, was I wrong about that.
It is simply the trend, the trope that annoys me the most because it requires so much effort and you could do something so much better in so many cases with so much less.
You just feel it's generally too risky, would you say?
Inappropriate.
Inappropriate.
Like in literally not suited to the singer's abilities, to the singer's vibe, like sometimes it's just got to be different. We have seen that it is uniqueness that wins at the contest.
I feel like the gold standard for singing and dancing it's got to be slow-mo, right?
It's got to be slow-mo. Yeah, that's truly the exception to this. I have no problem with slow-mo because she is able to go through it so well. Not everyone is Chanel. Not everyone can be Chanel. Nope. And not everyone should be Chanel. That's what I'm saying. Everyone's trying to be Elaine. Too many booties. Too many booties hypnotic. I sing the booty hypnotic. Only she does. But everyone's trying to be Elaine. Everyone's trying to be Chanel. And you just can't. These are unique personalities. These are superhuman. These are gifted people, even though I've said Elaine. Could have worked on it, but like just producers, I'm going to leave it at this. Producers, stagers, creative teams, just think of another option. Bring another option to your little boardroom meeting with the national broadcaster. Just say, perhaps we don't have the five backup dancers. Say we just do something different. Get a theater director, get an opera director. I don't know. Do something different, because it's what's different, that it's something slightly different, something ingenious, something unique, that is always a sure bet. That's I'm begging you to innovate. I am begging you.
Well, a tipsy topsy turntable has already been taken.
Our little off-kilter Lazy Susan has been taken. Yes.
Sacrificing a little devil guy by killing him on stage, that's been done now. Yeah. Can't do that.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Panini Press. Has been done.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we've had a giant Greek stapler and a Swedish panini press, and yeah. All right. Well,
there
you
are many
have
office supplies left to be used.
Ooh,
three hole punch,
laminator, ooh, laminator, God. Laminator.
Or is that too sexual for mainstream television?
What, laminate me? I see. Ooh. Shrink wrap.
Good. And on that note, everybody, let us know what you think. Are you a lover of choreography? Do you think that too much is too much? What do you look forward to seeing this year? What are you tired of seeing? Let us know what you think. Reach out to us on social media, 12pointsUSA. Just email us directly, 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. We're going to go and foist a couple of things on Danny before we say goodnight to each other. You can find that on our Patreon. But until next time, everybody, I've been Samantha.
I've been Derek.
I've been Eric.
And I've been Danny.
And America.
Stop listening now.
Now.